feeling the beat goes on. Yeah, looking California, but feeling Minnesota.
Hi, Jods, LA. NFL week two. I'm the coach. Lurk is not here. He's a healthy scratch before the show. Conduct detrimental to the team. He is under indefinite suspension. He will be appealing next week. We'll see. Oh, coming off a terrible loss for my team. First loss, we were 2-0. Had a 16-0 lead going into the fourth quarter. Give up a punt return for a touchdown. We get the ball back. Two plays later, we score. Called back on a holding penalty. We sputter, do nothing. Give them the ball back. They score quickly. Get the ball back. Sputter again. They score again with about a minute left. Lose the game. Heartbreaking. It's funny, you put so much into it and you feel as though you're the only team playing in the world, but you know, these things happen. Takes a couple days to get over it. Saturday film session. Obviously, an all-day Saturday. Decided to just drink. Girlfriend is out of town, so I stayed in and watched Alabama A&M. Drank. Watched Purdue, Notre Dame. Had to drink to watch that thing. It was unbearable. Then Arizona State, Wisconsin, which I'll talk about in a minute. That was a crazy game. One of the weirdest endings I've ever seen to a game. Getting back to my game, though, I learned something. You know, I've always been someone that plays nice with the referees. I try to kill them with kindness, try to be as nice as possible. But halftime of our game, I'm an assistant. I'm up in the booth. I'm not the head coach. I'm up in the booth seeing what defense they're in and what plays I like and things like that, what they're doing. So I come down late, run down late at halftime, and I get lost in the school. It was like a nightmare. I zigged when I should have zagged, and I ended up in the middle of the quad of the school. I had no idea. It felt like a bad nightmare when you're a kid and you have a test or something. You have that dream that you get lost in the school. So I'm running around like a child in a movie theater. No idea where I am. So but I'm running back and I catch their coaches, their defensive coordinator for the other team, is giving the referee an earful. They're holding. Watch the hold. They're holding every play. And I'm sitting to myself, oh, you bitch, stop whining. It's part of the game. But lo and behold, that same referee on the sideline, when we scored a touchdown, that would have ended the game. Would have put us up 23-6, about 8-9 minutes left. Would have ended the game. Lo and behold, biggest play of the game, they start barking in that guy's ear, and he throws the flag. Watch the film. Did not look like a hold to me. No bullshit. But it works. Goes to show you, it is a tactic. It is a strategic tactic to get in referees' heads. Look, you got to understand, referees, a lot of them, I don't know how many are listening, probably none, a lot of them are nerds by nature. And if you know them, or if you can get in their head, you can really influence them. I choose to do it with kindness. Hey, Bill, you missed that call. Oh, okay, I'll try to get the next time, you know, that type of thing. But you can intimidate them. And I'll be damned, he intimidated him. And I think it won a football game for him. What are you going to do? Back at it next week. We're 2-1 at home again next week. See what happens. Huge week in college football this past weekend. Bama A&M, really the game of the year. Definitely up to this point, but really is a regular season game. You can't get any bigger than this. The best team in the country versus the best player in the country, as evidenced by the championship last year and the Heisman Trophy last year as well. First play of the game, I love it. Quarterback counter. I mean, I like A&M. They are not afraid to get Johnny Manziel back there and run him. Design run plays for him. He throws. He's got such a strange throwing motion. Almost like shot puts it. Where Kaepernick throws it like a javelin, seems like Manziel throws it like a shot put. But, man, he puts the ball on point. He ended up with 464 passing yards, 98 rushing yards, 562 total yards, 5 touchdowns in the air, but 2 huge picks. One I thought was a bad route by the receiver in the end zone. I think he just kind of stumbled around. Shouldn't have thrown to him anyways. He got the big guy, I forget his name, on the other side. And the other one was a good defensive play. Vertical route. He tried to throw it back shoulder, hit off the guy's helmet, returned the other way. Bama. Bama's going to win it again. He'll win it three times in a row. Here it would have been a spiral for Lurk, but I'll just give it to you. Last team in college football history to win three years in a row, Minnesota, 1934 through 1936. You don't think powerhouse, you don't think Minnesota. But yeah, I think Bama's going to win it again. Bama's just got some great names, like the Key and Peele sketch. I don't know if listeners are familiar with that, where they come out and they have all these names. They come out of college football and all these fake names, but the real names are just as funny. Ha ha, Clinton Dix. Love it. Safety for Alabama. Ha ha, Clinton Dix. Dion Ballou. He needed the money. Oh. Oh, I'll tell you. As much as Nick Saban, he's got annoying quality to him. The guy is a winner. The guy knows what he's doing. I read an article about Nick Saban the other day. Strange guy. I guess he's a humorless man. The guy interviewing was talking about how the interviewer was listening to the Rolling Stones, and the interviewer's daughter said, how come that guy doesn't sing? And I guess Nick Saban's a huge Stone fan, snapped around at the guy and said, Mick Jagger can sing. And then he stared off into space and said, Mick Jagger's a fabulous entertainer. Kind of creepy. But the guy wins. He's pissed off. He's pissed off because he's in the national championship game last year and he's losing out on recruiting time. Amazing. Just driven. Perfect hire for them. It'd be interesting to see who the new hire will be at Texas, because there's no way Mac Brown sticks around. SC won this week, and there's another, you know, SC and Texas will open up probably next year. It'd be interesting to see who they go out and get. Back to that Bama game, though. Bama hits him with that flea flicker. Back to the quarterback, wide open. Great play. Johnny Manziel with his signature play. You knew they were sitting on that one the whole time. Vern Lundquist. Although I'll take Vern Lundquist over Brent Musburger any day. That's like a German sandwich. I'll see Lundquist on the Musburger. I like Lundquist, though. Gary Danielson's all right, but you know they were sitting around waiting for Johnny Manziel to sue something so they could say, that's Johnny Football's signature player of the year. Getting back to ha-ha Clinton Dix. It's amazing. This is what is crazy about these new rules about targeting that really drive me nuts, really draw me off sides. Dix blasts the guy, okay? It wasn't helmet to helmet. You know, he ended up grazing his helmet because it's just the most impossible thing not to be. If you're tackling a guy, it's going to slip up and hit the opposing team's helmet at times. But they call a personal foul on ha-ha Clinton Dix and an automatic ejection. But then they go back and they review the automatic ejection, and the booth comes back and says, oh no, it's not an automatic ejection. But the penalty still stands. I don't get it. The booth is essentially saying, oh, no, he didn't do anything. But it's still a 15-yard penalty because the referee screwed up and we're just going to call a 15-yard penalty. It's nuts. And all the announcers always say, oh, it's for the protection of the players. I guess, but, the road to hell was paved in good intentions. You know, goals are safety of the players. And I understand that, but they've gone overboard with this stuff. And, you know, now it's just forcing guys to go at people's knees, which, I don't know. I think these types of rules are really difficult to enforce. I think they've gone overboard. And we'll see what happens. Another great name in the game. LaQuiviante Gonzalez. I want to guess his last name was Gonzalez with the first name, like LaQuiviante Gonzalez. Other college football games. But after watching that, just to finish that up, Bama's going to win it again. Probably be Bama, Oregon. It seems like it's Bama, Oregon, and everybody else. Other scores, UCLA 41, Nebraska 21. They were down 21-3, and then they turned it around second half. UCLA is a contender. I think they're going to win. Well, it's going to be them or Oregon. Of course, UCLA has back-to-back games on the road, I believe, versus Oregon and Stanford. You come out of that, you'll be waiting. Alabama will be waiting for them. Oh, Michigan 28, Akron 24, and Akron had two chances to win that game at the end of the game. Overthrew him in the end zone twice. Head coach of Akron is Terry Bowden, Bobby Bowden's son. He's 4-35 since 2010. But here's an interesting thing. Yeah, I didn't know this till yesterday. Jim Tressel, former national championship head coach at Ohio State, works in the athletic department at Akron. So you know he has to be somehow, some way involved with what's going on. I got a kick out of his title, Vice President of Strategic Engagement. What the fuck is that? Sounds like something from Public Enemies, Chuck D's posse. My Vice President of Strategic Engagement. With people walking by the office. Hey, Coach Tressel, what are you up to? I'm sorry, I'm engaging strategically. That's just university, that's just college bullshit. And trust me, I just finished a master's degree and I got it about a month ago, finished it. And it's all bullshit. There's nothing more rigged than the college, the university system. This is a bunch of highbrow pencil pushers who sit around all day thinking of things to study. Most of the studies end up doing anything any good for anybody anyways. Vice President of Strategic Engagement. Clear the way for the S1Ws. What else we got? Fordham 30, Temple 29. Non-scholarship Fordham from the Bronx. I had a cousin who went there a couple of times. Beautiful, beautiful campus in the middle of the Bronx, right across from the zoo. Temple 29. I thought Temple would turn it around a little bit. Obviously not. You lose to a bunch of guys with non-scholarship players. 30-29. Ohio State 52, Cal 34. That was a good one. Cal ran a fake punt, direct snap to the punter, and then he threw it to the gunner on a little route. I'd love that. Because on the punt team, guys who are on punt team, they don't pay attention once the punter gets the ball. That's why I like a draw out of the punt formation. Just pretend like you're going to kick it and run straight ahead in a draw. Or a snap to the up back in a pass. Fake punts are not utilized nearly enough, in my opinion. Because they're extremely difficult to defend. Because they run out a punt team. It's usually, at most levels, it's usually backup guys. Some of those guys even play offense that are on the punt return team. You can catch them with their pants down. Ole Miss, 44. Texas, 23. Mack Brown, done. Unreal. No, Texas is turned down. They don't get the quarterback. They don't get a stud quarterback. Supposedly, they turned down Johnny Manziel. They didn't offer Johnny Manziel a scholarship. He wanted to go there. They didn't offer RG3 a scholarship. He wanted to go there. And supposedly, this Jameis, I don't know if I'm saying that right, Winston, the quarterback, freshman quarterback there at Florida State, Texas didn't offer him either. He wanted to go there. See ya, Mack Brown. I hope they don't bring someone like some retread. I hope they go to the Division II level or the 1AA level and get somebody who wins games consistently instead of these coordinators that all of a sudden, because they've coordinated, they know how to run a program. Wisconsin, 30. Arizona State, 32. I've talked about it a little bit earlier. Just to explain, if you didn't see the end of the game, that was nuts. Wisconsin drove down at the end of the game. Was in field goal range. The quarterback, I had never seen this before, the quarterback, instead of taking a knee, he ran back and just put the ball down on the ground. And it was confusing looking, so people were yelling, fumble. And they jumped on it, and the referee kind of looked a little confused and kind of milled around, and they just let the clock run off. They let the clock run off and they let him snap the ball. It's nuts. Terrible way to lose a football game. So much goes into it, and something like that that just you cannot plan for. Can't plan for something like that. Arizona State, 32, Wisconsin, 20. I think that put Arizona State in the top 25. Should be. Arizona State is one of those teams that should always be good. Campus is really cool. They got cool gear. The team that should always be in the top 25, and they've gone back and forth in the last few years. What else we got in college football? Nothing. Well, Johnny Manziel, to get back to Johnny Manziel, I got a man crush, a Manziel crush. I think he will be successful in the NFL. Imagine if he could ever get on the Eagles. Imagine if he could ever get in Chip Kelly's system. They'd be unstoppable. I mean, Michael Vick is a great athlete too, but he's 33 years old and he's fragile. You know, if Johnny Manziel could ever get on a team like that, it'd be perfect for him. But you just look at the track record of some of these guys that have won the Heisman Trophy in the last 20 years. Andre Ware, 1989, 6 NFL starts. Ty Detmer threw for 5,000 yards and 41 touchdowns in 12 games in college. Played for 6 different teams, started 25 times. Gino Toretta, never started an NFL game. Charlie Ward, 27 touchdowns, 4 picks, 1993, Florida State, not drafted, played in the NBA. Danny Werfel, 39 touchdown passes, taking in the national title, Heisman. 4th round pick, made 10 NFL starts, 14 touchdowns, 22 picks. Chris Winkie started 20 NFL games, lost 18 of them. Eric Crouch, 2001, drafted as a wide receiver, cut. Jason White, 2003, never even drafted. Matt Leinart, colossal bust. Troy Smith, Canadian Football League, 2006. You got, this is who you got in the NFL right now. Carson Palmer, Sam Bradford, Cam Newton, RG3. I think Manziel's got to get in the right system. And I think everybody and their uncle is going to, you know, the shotgun outside zone, variations of the zone read, high tempo. That will be the flavor for the next couple years. And, you know, if I tell you, if I was a top 5 pick, if I was a Jaguars or the Raiders or whoever else is going to end up at the bottom, Pittsburgh even, I don't know if I'd give up on Ben yet, but you take Manziel and center for a couple of years, I'd take him. Him or Teddy Bridgewater. Ha ha, Clinton Dix. Pro game. Real quick, next week, there's really no great games on in college football. Notre Dame, Michigan State, snooze fest. Arizona State, Stanford, I like that game. You'll probably be on late. UCLA, New Mexico State, only reason I bring that up, I got a kid I coached at UCLA, plays for UCLA right now, Brandon Sermons, 5th-year senior, and another senior at New Mexico State, kid named Brian Bonilla, starting at linebacker. I might try to go to that game. It's one thing that's cool about high school, you get to coach kids at, you know, different levels and different skill sets, different abilities to see them go on. Pretty fun. NFL, week 2, Thursday night, Pats, Jets. First, I was disappointed in the Patriots. But you got to be realistic with these receivers. I mean, these guys are young guys. I mean, when the beginning of the game, they're talking difference makers. Ken Brell Tompkins, that's the difference maker for the Pats. Well, that's where they're at. Brady throws a hissy fit, and everybody thinks, oh, I've never seen Brady do that, because you know why? Because I've been watching him. Because he throws a hissy fit at least 2-3 times a year. He's throwing to Julian Edelman. Julian Edelman looks like a star right now. Just goes to show you that Brady can make average guys look great. Shit. Keep that up. Edelman will lead the league in receptions. He's catching, 10, 11 balls a game. He's on pace for about 120 catches. Geno Smith looked a little flustered. I don't know. I just think that's the way he looks naturally anyway. But, you know, he held on to the ball a long time. I don't know if the Jets are really, really sold on him at this point. I don't think he's going to be there at the end of the year. I think they're hoping for Sanchez to come back. And it supposedly is some call for Matt Sims as well. I don't know. I think the Jets need to stay with Sexy Rexy, though. Even though he looks like Herman Munster, all teeth and head. But he does a good job. Their defense is going to be good for the next few years. He stays true to his old man's 46 zone. Brings the D tackles over the guards, covers up the center, and pressures. Brings pressure. And they got to Brady a few times, even though drop balls. Amazing. Pats, I think they will get it going at some point. I thought their defense looked pretty good. You know, they got some guys who can fly. Pass rush needs to improve. I don't know why they couldn't went out and got a guy like Dwight Freeney, you know, someone like that who could help rush the passer. It's amazing, though. I'm such a bitch since I've turned out here to lived out here in the West Coast. I mean, it was 8:05 at night. It was the fourth quarter of the game. And I'm like, when's this going to be over? Shit, the games don't even start back home until 8:35. And I'm at 8:05. I'm like, this game's taking forever. Oh, this fucking makes you soft. I don't know. Maybe I'll move back, but then I'll just bitch. Oh, these games start at 9. It's amazing. Those games don't get over till 11:30, 12. That's why it sucks going to Foxborough. My brother had season tickets for years. I never even wanted to go to games because they have a Monday night game or a Sunday night game. You don't get out of the fucking parking lot till 12:30. You don't get home till 2. Ruins the next day, especially if they lose. Get out of Foxborough is not the easiest thing to do. I prefer to watch it in HDTV. Even though you have to look at Dan Dierdorf's freaking Klingon-sized head, I still prefer to watch it on HDTV. I couldn't believe it. I got DirecTV. I got the package, by the way. And I went to watch Red Zone, and it was extra. Out of spite, I didn't get it, but I'm going to go get it next week. Red Zone Station is a godsend. It's a gift from God. I don't know. That Patriots ran 89 plays in week one. They're talking about Chip Kelly and all that noise. But the Patriots are the team that runs a lot faster tempo. I thought the Patriots fans did a classless move, though. That Wilkerson guy, Muhammad Wilkerson, came up with an injury and the fans started booing him like he was faking it. People, they will never be able to prove that a guy is faking an injury to slow the offense down. So get over it. You can't just boo every guy that gets hurt. You cannot prove it. You know, what is the referee going to do? Oh, you're not really hurt. Are they doctors now, too? It's a strategy. It's a tactic. I don't know. What are you going to do? Say, oh, you're only allowed 2 injuries per quarter? You know? Maybe after the fact, they can hand down suspensions if a guy is proven not to be hurt. But how the hell do you prove a guy's not cramping up? Just going to have to live with it. I like Mike Mayock, too. I think Mike Mayock's a good announcer. NFL Network. He's calling out the fans saying they're out of line for booing injuries. I like him. He gives a more of a X and O perspective that the rest of these guys don't do. Referees are still as bad. Referees are still as bad this year as they were last year, except last year they were scabs and everybody was all over that. But they've been giving people extra plays. They've been making terrible calls. The referees always stink. It's just last year there was just a talking point for guys like Chris Collinsworth. Oh, we need to get the regular officials back. Please, they're always bad. But can't play the games without them. You try to play the games without them, you don't have a game. When you're going to call your own fouls? Not happening. Other games of note this week. I'm going to talk a little bit about pregame. And all the pregame hype. And guys like Rick Riley from ESPN. You knew they were going to jock Chip Kelly. Oh, Chip is changing the game. The game will never be the same. I went on and talked about my near fight with Chip Kelly. There was really not much of a point. But it is true. We almost went at least in my head, at the BC camp. So there's some professional jealousy, I admit. But, you know, I do like what the guy's doing. He looks like the players legitimately enjoy playing for him. But I don't think his impact is going to change the game as much as they say. Look, not for nothing, but some of the stuff he was doing, high schools have been doing it. Bad high school teams have been doing it. You know, I mean, it's not that revolutionary. It's not that game-breaking. Shit, I played bad high school teams that get up and run the balls, you know, get up and run play super fast as well. Schematically, they're doing the exact same things. But the talking heads, such as myself, need something to talk about, and they've jumped on the Chipper bandwagon. I love it this morning, Tom Jackson, whom I like. You know, I respect Tom Jackson, the grizzled veteran, but they say such stupid shit sometimes. He says, penetration kills the Eagles' offense. No shit. What kind of offense plays well when they got the defensive linemen and linebackers in the backfield? You know, it's not very insightful. CBS had on, they've been pumping the life and times of LT. I thought it was hilarious. They had LT on today. And then Greg Gumbel, right in front of him, says, one of the most gifted and troubled athletes of our time. What the hell? Right in front of LT. Although I will watch that. Fox had Terry Bradshaw with Phil Robertson, the guy from Duck Dynasty, who apparently was beat out Terry Bradshaw for the quarterback position at Louisiana Tech. Thought that was interesting, but he gave it all up. Terry Bradshaw was saying the guy had a release like Joe Namath, but the guy just had a passion for duck hunting. It's amazing. My family, my uncles and stuff, they're into deer hunting stuff, and just it's all consuming. So I guess the guy made a right decision. He's a multimillionaire now. Hold on, let me take a sip of my Mike's Hard Lemonade. Eesh. It's the only thing in the fridge. Oh, I used to be hard. Now I'm freaking soft. I should call it Soft Yards LA. I couldn't even open the damn bottle. I had to wrap my shirt around the bottle cap, and I still think I ripped my hand open. Soft freaking paper pushing hands. Oh, boy. San Diego, Philly. This is a game I watched. San Diego 33, Philly 30. Tied to all that Chip Kelly talk like I've been talking about. I read an interesting stat. In Kelly's debut, which they, you know, it ended up being, I think, part of what happened against the Redskins on that Monday night. I didn't get to watch a lot of it because I had practice. Part of it, I think, Washington's defense stinks. But Philly came out and just hit him in the mouth early. And that's what deal with this offense. They come out and jump on you early. I've gone on record saying I am a fan of what it is, but it's being overhyped. In college, you get away with it because you come out, bam, 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 bam. You hit a team in the face right away, and now they're staggering. In the pros, there's more of a balance. The other offense isn't going to fold up. Okay, they're going to come right back at you. And until the Eagles stop playing better D, you know, I think they'll be decent. They'll be fun to watch. But I don't think this offensive innovation is going to change the league. Or at least, you know, it will change the league. The influence will be seen. But I don't think the Eagles is going to go to the Super Bowl. Like today in the pregame, they're just talking all this stuff. And they're in Philadelphia. And people are like, 19-0. Chip Kelly. We have Chip Kelly. I don't know. I don't think so. But I read this stat. In Chip Kelly's debut last week, they ran 77 plays for 443 yards and 33 points. Steve Spurrier's pro debut with the Redskins, they ran 73 plays, 442 yards, 31 points. And we all know what happened to the head ball coach in the pros anyways. He landed on his feet all right and ended up at South Carolina. And South Carolina looks like the real deal, but you know, you can't anoint somebody the next savior one game into the career. San Diego looked pretty good today. I thought they looked pretty good last Monday night until I fell asleep and woke up and the Texans were kicking the game-winning field goal. San Diego looked... Oh, I miss Danny Woodhead. Oh, for the days of Danny Woodhead. I don't know why they let him go either. Especially if they're not even going to use... Well, I guess Vereen was their answer. Patriots, I'm talking about. Shane Vereen was the answer, but he's hurt. And also saw today that Amendola might have tore a muscle in his hip. He's out for at least a month. Guys like Danny Woodhead, and you need those guys. Speaking of a guy who would want, how about Shady McCoy? LeSean McCoy is fast. He's just got unbelievable quicks and shake. That's the thing with the Eagles. They got tons of talent. They underachieved the last 2 years. They couldn't stay healthy. So old Chipper, you know, he inherited a pretty good team. I like what that dude, like some of the things Philly does with the pictures and stuff. The kind of comical. The pictures of Rocky, and today they had a picture of Dierdorf and Gumbel. Putting Dierdorf's clean on head up there. I actually saw Greg Gumbel walking down the street once in New York City. He's a big old fella too. So I walked by him. Phillip Rivers, 419 yards, 3 touchdowns. Is there a more frustrating player to watch than Phillip Rivers? Guy looks like a world beater one day and he looks terrible the next. But brought it today. San Diego, 33. Philadelphia, 30. The Toilet Bowl. Oakland, Jacksonville. Oakland 19, Jacksonville 9. What's the deal with Jacksonville's new helmets? Too world league for me. Half black, half gold. Everybody's going with this flat black look. It's almost like a charcoal look. Jacksonville should just fold. Move to L.A. L.A. Jaguars. We need a team. Might as well be Jacksonville. Although Jacksonville is the largest city in the United States, land-wise, still, they don't deserve a team. And for crying out loud, why don't they go out and sign Tim Tebow? So they don't win, big deal. At least they sell tickets. Then they go out next year and they draft Teddy Bridgewater or Jadeveon Clowney, defensive end, South Carolina, Jadeveon. Well, what are they waiting on? Well, they really think, what's his name? Chris Henney, I don't know, the guy from Michigan. Henney, yeah, that's it. Think he's going to be the answer for him? Blaine Gabbert? Please, go out and get Tebow. Let him run the exact same Florida offense that he ran. With the chips fall, they may. Then you go out and get a quarterback next year. Problem solved. The fancy mustachioed owner for the Jaguars. I think the guy's name, the guy who made all his money off truck bumpers. If you're listening, if you're one of my 22 Twitter followers, you listen to the show, take my advice. Oakland 19, Jacksonville 9. Terrell Pryor looked all right again. He's a guy, though, he's brought interest back to the Raiders. The last pick ever by Al Davis was Terrell Pryor out of the supplement draft. It's an embarrassment, though, that the Raiders, I don't understand in this day and age how they can't get a piece of grass to be able to fill in where the baseball diamond is where the A's play. I don't really see how they can patch that up and make it at least somewhat serviceable instead of playing on dirt. It's a multi-billion dollar industry, the NFL, and these freaking guys are playing on dirt. You know, it looks like a bad high school in the middle of Texas. I don't know if they're a bad high school in the middle of Texas. Maybe a bad example. Middle of North Dakota, if you're listening, Lark. No one else really freaking drew me offside today watching the games on CBS. Why do they have the final scores in the bottom line in yellow? Because you look up and you think there's a flag on every damn play because it was his final score in yellow. They couldn't come up with a different color between that and the flag. So every time you glance down, you glance back up, you think there's a penalty. Who kind of brain trust is running? Same people who run the turf crew at Oakland Coliseum or whatever the hell they play, NetAss or Network Associates Field or whatever the name is this year. Arizona 25, Detroit 21. Goodness gracious. How much bad it must be to be a Detroit fan. That's a twit bad question. That's a segue. I'll answer this twit bad question at Gamboa Con. I'm a Lions fan and a Michigan fan. Give me a reason to live. You know, before today's game and Detroit losing to Arizona, I would have said things aren't that bad in Detroit. You know, they got some players. They got the biggest payroll in the league. You know, they got some guys that are worth watching. Speaking of which, how about Indomicon Sue? That's a little ridiculous. I don't know what that guy's deal is, but $100,000, $100,000 for that low block. It's more than I make in 2 years. It's about what I make in 2 years for a low block, which is ridiculously stupid. Even kids at freshman football know you can't cut block on an interception. How dumb is he? I don't think he's malicious. I just think he's dumb. That's what they're talking about today, Ray Lewis and Keyshawn and all those guys is saying, oh, there's something wrong with them that we don't know. You know, Ray Lewis almost insinuated that it's a concussion problem that Indomicon Sue has. I guess. Ridiculous. Stupid friggin' cut block. $100,000 though. Jesus. Minnesota, Chicago. Chicago 31, Minnesota 30. Why do the Bears wear those stupid uniforms? I don't get why the NFL is so infatuated with the throwback junk. Let the Bears just wear their regular uniforms. They're classy enough. Jay Cutler on my fantasy football team. I didn't pick the team. My buddy picked the team. But we got him. We played him. He's such a, I don't know, something about his face. You know? He just doesn't look like someone you'd want to. He's got that Sean Payton type face. Someone who looks like they're at the country club getting drunk and dipping and start telling you what they know about everything and that you're dumb. Which is another segue back into my twit bag. At Sweat and Mullets, who would win in an MMA fight? Jay Cutler or Alex Smith? Since Jay has that whole don't care thing. But Alex has the Rocky thing. I'll take Alex Smith all day, every day. I think Alex Smith's tough. I like the way he runs. He's an old wing T quarterback. You got to be tough to get out there and run the wing T. Run the waggle pass, get out there on the edge. Take Alex Smith. Minnesota. I think Christian Ponder looks so freaking average. I don't get why they went out and spent a top 15 pick on him. I just don't think he's a guy who's going to win you a Super Bowl. And then that's the whole goal, isn't it? Well, you got to go out and get a quarterback that's going to lead you to a Super Bowl. Otherwise, what's the Delta damn point? Kansas City over Dallas. I'm in on the Kansas City bandwagon. They're all right. Their defense is a lot better than I thought. Dallas. I still think Dallas is pretty good. I think Kansas City's defense is just good. Des Bryant's a ball. Another guy I got on my fantasy team. He's clearly top three receivers in football this year. Him, Calvin Johnson. Still like Andre Johnson, although Andre Johnson got hurt today. Kansas City, 2-0. Miami, 24, Indy, 20. I thought that was a surprise. Miami looks solid. Indy looks solid. Why the hell did Miami change their logo, by the way? I like the old dolphin with the helmet on it. You know, it kind of has that spirit. It's kind of a classic look. This new sleek Y2K dolphin. Y2K was 13 years ago. Next generation sleek dolphin. I don't get it. Why, you have the exact same colors and everything, but why don't you just keep the old dolphin? I like the old dolphin. Although I hate the fucking dolphins. Pardon my French. Atlanta 31, St. Louis 24. Atlanta was up 24-0 at one point. St. Louis came back and made a game of it. Atlanta was trying to avoid going 0-2. Team I picked on this very program to go to the Super Bowl. And what is the stat they love to throw out this year? They were throwing out, at least I heard it 4 or 5 times. You start out the season 0-2, you got a 12% chance of making the playoffs. Of course, the Pats went 0-2, 2001, went on to win the Super Bowl. Yeah, Bledsoe got knocked out and almost died. They went out and won the Super Bowl that year. So what happens? I mean, you still got a 12% chance, but the odds aren't good if you drop those first two games. Buffalo, 24, Carolina, 23. Buffalo won with 6 seconds left on a blown coverage. Guy was wide open in the end zone. They tried to combo the coverage in the corner, and they miscommunicated and One guy came in, the other guy ran a little fade route, and they let him wide open. Ridiculous. But I think Buffalo's okay as well. Baltimore 14, Cleveland 6. Oh, Joe Flacco. His wife had a kid an hour before the game, and he was at the stadium playing. I say good for Joe Flacco. Shit, remember the days where dads would be in the local pub drinking while the moms had the kid? Then you'd be like, hey, have a cigar, have a cigar. Now it's like they go in and practically deliver the damn thing. Good for Joe Flacco. Have his priorities straight. It's a damn NFL game. He gets paid a multi-million dollar contract. He needs to be there. 14-6, Cleveland. Green Bay, 38. Washington, 20. Aaron Rodgers, 480 yards, 4 touchdowns. I don't get, this is one of the things about fantasy football I really don't get. Everybody talks about getting these running backs, getting these running backs. Why would you take Aaron Rodgers first? The guy consistently puts up 30-point games, and he did again. It looks like Washington just can't play defense. They're 0-2. Already read an article before I left at home. Already read an article, people calling for Cousins. Of course, a lot of Washington's fan base is in rural Virginia. And they all love their Cousins down there. Who? Hey, no. Houston, 30. Tennessee, 24. I don't know if you caught the end of that game. Houston took 4 attempts at a field goal at the end of regulation. First one, boom, guy called timeout. Iced him, went through. No good because of the timeout. Second one, boom, blocked. Offsides, Tennessee. Came back. Third one, boom, timeout again. Iced him. Missed it. Didn't count anyways. Had to come back and kick it again. Fourth one, missed it again. Unreal. We actually have a kicker on my high school team that can kick better than that guy right now. No bullshit. He kicks 45, 50 yards regularly with ease, although he missed a 42-yard field goal for us this week. But just sipping on my Mike's Hard Lemonade. And the Manning Bowl. Denver 41, Giants 23. I don't know how anybody in their right mind can say that Eli Manning is better than Peyton Manning. Save that Super Bowl shit for someone else. It's not even close. Watch the games. Peyton Manning, as much as I don't like Peyton and Papa Dubs and Eli, Peyton Manning is a freaking maestro. He's almost undefendable at times. Denver scares the hell out of me. Giants are a joke. Of course, you say that and then rip off 10 in a row, end up back in the Super Bowl. God, that would be awful. Denver Giants Super Bowl. I hate that. I feel so bad for Archie and Olivia. Yeah, I feel so bad. They got NFL starting quarterback icons make $20 million, whatever, a year between endorsements and contract. Yeah, I feel terrible for Olivia and Archie. I just wanted the field to open up and swallow that Denver and the Giants. They're probably my two most least favorite teams. Even if the Mannings weren't on them, I would still dislike them. Mannings even make it even worse. Eli Manning turned down going to San Diego. Like San Diego's the worst spot to end up playing. He held them hostage. They end up with Philip Rivers. Papa John's pizza. We won't pay for anybody's health care. Ugh. Can't stand them. What else we got for games? Oh, we got Seattle, San Fran going on right now. Well, I'll check on that score. I knew it was in a rain delay or a lightning delay. Right before I left or right before we went on the air, I saw that San Fran, it's still there in the rain delay, lightning delay. Weird. It's been happening. But right before that, I saw that, Seattle's going for that 12th man record of trying to make the loudest noise, Guinness Book of World Records noise. And some jagoff was blowing a whistle And when he went to blow the whistle, a couple guys on Seattle stood up and looked around, thought the play was dead. They snapped the ball, blows right by him, blocks the punt. Amazing. They should immediately eject those people. That's a dumb thing. Trying to go over the Guinness Book of World Records for noise, especially when your team's trying to snap a damn punt. You know how tough that is? People take that for granted. I hate the more intelligent fans, like Texas A&M, actually. I don't know if you guys were watching the game. Anytime they went on offense, they went quiet. Okay, because you have to be able to hear. If you're going nuts while your team's on offense, it's detrimental. It's counterintuitive. What else do we got? I'm running out of time here. Well, spirals are just no fun on your own. Playing catch by yourself isn't that fun, but I'll give you the spirals anyway. I was going to nail that dope off the head again. Spiral, most PATs made in a career and attempted. 943 made, 959 attempted. George Blanda. And I was going to back it up with most interceptions thrown in a single season. 42 interceptions thrown in a single season. And the answer to that, you guessed it, George Blanda. He played till he was like 50. 49 years old. Amazing career. George Blanda. Longtime Raider. And one of the only guys that kept talking last week about Peyton Manning's 7 touchdown passes in a single game. Done by Joe Cap, Y.A. Tittle, George Blanda, a guy named Adrian Burke, who I've never heard of, and Sid Luckman. It's amazing, though. They always talk about pass offenses and how it's so everyone's so pass happy nowadays. As a matter of fact, in the first week of the NFL this year, it was a combined 8,143 net passing yards, which was the most in any week in NFL history. 63 touchdowns, most in any week in NFL history. So they're always talking about teams are chucking the ball around, which is true. But you look at those 5 guys before Peyton Manning, who threw 7 touchdown passes in a game. And the closest one in time is 1969, Joe Cap from Cal. I think it was half Indian, half Mexican fella. And George Blanda, 61. Sid Luckman. I have a theory on why they threw so many touchdown passes back then, why it was much more, seemed more common. There's a bunch of stiff white boy DBs trying to defend. Bad hips. Can't get their hips around and they get lost in coverage and fall all over themselves. Plus, I think the play action pass was a little bit more effective. But people don't realize they threw the ball a ton in the 60s as well. It wasn't like these new, you know, everything's new. Okay, the game is not that difficult. They don't innovate all that much. A couple more side notes here. We only got a few minutes. I'm reading an article, Pete Carroll. He's a 9/11 conspiracy theorist. What a freaking clown. I don't have much respect for anybody who's a 9/11 conspiracy theorist anyways, to be honest with you. To me, that's the most un-American thing. You're saying that soldiers, American soldiers, because you can't commit this thing in a vacuum. You're saying the President of the United States was trying to, went out and killed thousands of people in New York City. That's ridiculous. If you really believe that, you'd move. You'd be so paranoid you wouldn't want to live in the country. But apparently, Happy Pete is a 9/11 conspiracy theorist. He had a general, high-ranking general he met over the summer, and supposedly he grilled him about it. And there was conflicting reports saying that the general got a little bit pissed because the general said he lost friends at the Pentagon, and Pete was still questioning him. Thought that was interesting. The freaking weirdo. Pete Carroll's a Northern California hippie pot-smoking weirdo anyway. But the guy could coach. Guy knows football. Gotta give him that. Charlie Weiss is reading an article about Charlie Weiss, Kansas football. You know, Charlie Weiss played 1 year of high school football. He was a backup center. And the guy was the head coach at Notre Dame. Never even played. His kid is a 20-year-old student assistant with the team. And Charlie Weiss said there was NFL teams calling him trying to get his son to come coach for that team, the pro team. It's ridiculous. Another guy who never played. I don't get it. I don't get how guys can be coached, you know. And I'm not saying you have to be good, but you at least have to put the helmet on and run around and feel it. I mean, how else can you even expect to have any, you know, frame of reference, any perspective on it? And again, I'm not saying you have to be great, but I think you have to know what the hell's going on, or at least what it's like to actually play in a game. I don't know. Amazing. Last thing before we go. The top, through 2008-2013, the top five states that provided the most Division I college recruits in football. Pretty straightforward. You would think that, you know, there's no real surprises. Texas, number one. Florida, number two. California, number three. Georgia, number four. Ohio, number five. Stands to reason, you know, Texas is always a strong program until now. Mac Brown is over the hill. Florida's always got Florida State, Miami, loaded with talent down there. California is a huge state, SC, UCLA now, Stanford. Cal has their moments. I can't believe San Diego State can never turn it around for some reason. I don't know why not. Beautiful place. I don't know why people wouldn't want to go to San Diego State and play. Per capita, I thought was interesting, though. States per capita, because all those four, five states I just mentioned are really big states. Georgia's the biggest state east of the Mississippi landwise. Per capita, number one, Louisiana. Two, Alabama. Three, Florida. Four, Georgia. Five, Hawaii. It's amazing to me. I wouldn't think Hawaii would be in that top five. You got like state like New York is way down. Down like New England states. I figured as much New England state, but you would think New York's, you know, with the city, would have football players in the city. You would think New York City would have more players, but they don't. I would have thought Jersey was on that list as well. A lot of good football players come out of New Jersey. Pennsylvania also. But Hawaii. And that is a university can never turn it around. You would think one time somewhere along the line, the best player in the nation would just say, you know what? I'm going to Hawaii. The best quarterback in the nation would go to Hawaii. Just doesn't seem that way. Doesn't work out that way. Thought that was interesting. Next week in the NFL, games, big games of the week, we got nothing. We got Oakland, Denver, St. Louis, Dallas, Green Bay, Cincinnati. Pats are playing Tampa at Josh Freeman's show. They supposedly, this morning, they were saying Josh Freeman was looking for a trade. I don't know who in their right mind would trade for Josh Freeman. Yeah, not a big week. Buffalo Jets, Atlanta, Miami, Jacksonville, Seattle, Houston, Baltimore. That's going to be the weakest week of the season. Indy, San Fran, and nothing. It's a week of college football and pro football as well. Nothing really good cooking. All right, that's it. I'm the coach. You can get Hard Yards on iTunes. Please download. Anyone you know, have them download it. You can also get us on www.skidrowstudios.com. Follow us on Twitter at Hard Yards LA. I will see you next week. I will be here with bells on. Later. Pistol grip, pump on my neck at all times. Pistol grip, pump on my neck at all times. Pistol grip, pump on my neck at all times. They can be fucked with other niggas shit, but they can't be fucking with mine. Pistol grip, pump on my neck at all times. Pistol grip, pump on my neck at all times. They can be fucking with other niggas shit, but they can't be fucking with mine. I was raised in the hood, caught what the death, where the brothers in the hood, we shiftless. So I rest the fence. So
D-R-O-W, from the wall to the door. What you wanna do? Do you want some hardcore? Do you like it raw? South Olive, downtown L.A. Skid Row Studios, motherfucker.
Chris Cahill, host of Psychic Every Day on SkidRowStudios.com. I come to you live on Wednesdays at 7 o'clock Pacific Time with a show about being psychic and all things psychic. You can call in during the show to get a reading. The number is 1-800-893-9562. And that is at www.SkidRowStudios.com. You can also find Psychic Every Day as a free downloadable podcast on iTunes.
Hey, this is Eddie Solis, producer and host of Los Angeles Nisa. Make sure you listen to the show live every Monday night, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at SkidRowStudios.com. And make sure you download the Skid Row Studios app for your iPhone.